2.2. This is Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy, broadcasting live from downtown at the Tucson Foodie headquarters. This is Tucson Foodie Edition 2.2 with Jennifer Teufel. She is shaking up her cleanse. She's doing a juice cleanse. And I promise you, this they did an episode of The Simpsons where Homer Simpson had a drink called a lawnmower. It was wheatgrass juice and vodka. That's what that looks like.
I'm not sure what's in it.
It's called a lawnmower.
It's called the Pure Green from Pure Love Juice. And I can't make too much fun of them because I actually feel so much better when I'm and it's a relief. You know, I did that month of desserts, and the article dropped, and I got to thank everybody. Some delicious desserts. And
did
David,
you include the rice pudding?
Oh, are you kidding? That thing, like, I crave it so much all the time. So I was really lucky to have a month of desserts, because we really are tasting some delicious things right now. But I did gain 7 pounds in 1 month.
Whoa.
And my heart and my arteries are like, slow it down.
Can you introduce me to these people? Because I need to do the Pure Love Juice.
Yes. Mary Saul, she's up at the corner up at St. Philip's. She's up right near the corner of River and Campbell, and she really cares about this stuff. In fact, we dropped a couple of articles about her pretty recently, and we really like it.
And that so makes you feel better.
It does make me feel better.
Your skin looks beautiful.
Well, that's what it's all about. I look fabulous. But I'm really excited because
we've got who's here.
Yeah, I do. I am. I can notice because he's
we all get
right.
A little excited.
Well, because usually he would bring me some rice pudding, so now I'm a little less excited. Hi, David.
So executive chef David Solorzano from Panka Restaurant, who is redefining and reinvigorating the downtown food scene with his extraordinary sense of food and flavor.
Rice pudding. Sorry,
but, you know, everything he touches, he has enhanced the vitality of downtown by doing what he does. I'm telling you, it's
so
all about vitality.
And we just were at the Gut Dinner. We were talking about the Gut Dinner, and you did this sous vide steak that was so delicious. I was all depressed when it got put in front of me because I was like, oh, yeah, sous vide steak. It's going to have no flavor. And it was so good.
It was so,
so
good.
Thank you for that. That
You're
was
welcome.
Wonderful.
Thanks. So welcome. This is our last show of the summer.
This is it.
That was quick.
We're going back to school.
We're all going back to school. Means all the snowbirds are coming back from out of town, so you're going to have to start working much harder because you haven't done anything all summer.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Relaxed for a while.
Very relaxing starting up a new restaurant. So what do you have coming up? Talk to us about it.
Yeah, how long have you been at Panka now?
4 months, I think.
How does it feel?
It feels like I've been there forever, but very short at the same time. I don't know, it's weird.
Does it feel like home yet?
I felt like home the first week.
Yeah.
It was the first restaurant that's ever felt like that before. Yeah.
So you were just talking about an event you've got coming up in September.
So, yeah, September 23rd, we have, we're calling them Noches de Panka. And it's going to be a 5-course fixed menu. And it's just going to be more elevated Mexican cuisine.
So let's just say I wanted to get in on that. Do you make reservations? Do you call them? Do
you can
go
call
online?
And make a reservation. We haven't ironed out all of the details yet, so it might be you purchase a ticket and then you have a seat. It just includes food. It does not include alcohol and drink. But yeah, just make a reservation just so we can have your name on it. It's a reservation only. There's no walk-ins. And then just to secure a slot.
Do you know what you're doing for the first one? What your focus is?
No clue.
No clue. No, oh, it's so exciting.
Well, listen, you want some clues about what might happen. And if you haven't been to Panka since David arrived, one of the most genius food moments in Tucson right this minute.
Other than his rice pudding.
Yes, other than his rice pudding, is this platter of moles. It's an appetizer or a tasting plate that he sends out. And he brought back, well, I'm going to let him tell the story. You and a bunch of your crew members were down in Mexico for a week of inspiration. Will you talk about that?
Yeah, the Brian, the beverage director, as well as some of the bartenders and some of the servers, and I went down to Mexico City first for a few days and then drove down to Oaxaca from there and just hit up little towns on the way. And yeah, it's just pretty much just to kind of recharge and draw inspiration from Mexico. And then for me, it's mostly just making relationships with purveyors and bringing back ingredients that I can't find here.
So what did you bring back that you're including on your menu now?
Right now we have chihuahua chilies. It's my favorite chili, my favorite dry chili. So I brought back all three. I brought back the negro, the rojo, and the amarillo. So I have the yellow mole that's made with the amarillo chili, and then I have a chichilo mole that's made with the black chihuahua. I am not using the reds for right now. I may be using them in the dinner. Who knows? And then we also have, I brought back grasshoppers. I brought back a little bit of cheese. The cheese is gone.
Talk about that tasting, that mole tasting dish. Because I came to the restaurant one night. I saw somebody ordering it. I watched them eat it. I had to get it myself. I think it's the most genius idea because you introduce us to flavors that we're not going to find anywhere else. And not only are they flavors that are unique to the chilies that you brought back, but to your version, your expression of it. Will you talk about what inspired that dish?
Honestly, I can't really take that much credit for it because it was one of the dishes that I got from over there. Like, one of the restaurants that we went to had a mole tasting. It didn't have the moles that I have on the menu at Panka, but I just, when I saw it on the menu, we just ordered everything on the menu for all of us. So, but that was one of the things that were included. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was really nice to have some, you know, just, it's kind of like a nice introduction to people that don't really know much about moles, or even if you do, it's just something that you're not really going to get all in once. So it's a good, you know, it's a good option to get everything without getting all dishes.
Well, you're not going to find these chilies almost anywhere.
No, I want to say we're the only people that have them in Arizona. So, I mean, I don't want to say that because...
But you don't have to. But I want you to imagine this. If you were going to go to a week-long event like, I don't know, the Aspen Food and Wine Classic or South Beach Food and Wine Fest, you know, $1,000 to attend the event, you went to different seminars, you might have to spend time and money going to a seminar, it cost you $100, with somebody as talented as David Solorzano doing a seminar about mole. Literally for $10, you can go to Panka and do a master class in moles and learn more in a short amount of time through the delicious expression and the taste. I think it's some of the best money you can spend to get to know a range of flavors that are so unique and yet so much about where we are right now in the food scene. I want to compliment you for that.
Thanks.
Really cool. How do you eat a mole tasting? Because I want people to really crave this. And I want Jen to come down and do it with me when she's done with it.
I'm ready, actually. I'm going to give up on the cleanse immediately and go tonight.
So it's six of the sauces. Not all of them are moles. Some of them are included in the sauces that we have in the menu. So one of them is the yellow mole. The other one's the black mole. We also have a pipián, which is usually a mole made out of pumpkin seed. But it's a little bit of a different take on it. It's more of an emulsification of pepita seeds and serrano chilies. And actually, I think that's all. Really, that's all that's in there. It's just pepita seeds, chilies, and garlic. But that's raw. It's not cooked. And then...
And I have to tell you, that yellow mole surprised me to no end. I mean, it was beautiful looking, but it was deep in its flavor. It was sophisticated in the nuances. But again, when I tasted it, it's like I taste you and I taste your hand in every single thing that's on that plate, because you have this fantastic combination of where you're from originally in the world and your cordon bleu training. So it's like, you know, this wonderful combination. And you're, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So you've got this Jalisco cordon bleu combo platter thing. And I think in its own way, the refinement of that plate is a great expression of that.
Thanks.
It's really cool.
You know what I'm excited about?
Let me guess, rice pudding.
All right.
It's easy. An exciting rice pudding.
All right, it is exciting. Well, I'm always excited about delicious things. We've got something coming up that I'm so excited about that David is going to take part of. Tucson Foodie, we do two events every year that we sponsor specifically, that we do specifically, and we get joined by all of our favorite chef friends. We were so lucky. And one of them we do in October, at the end of October, called The Art of Plating. And it's, you know, yes, it's about the art, It's also about the flavors. We've got some amazing judges this year. And David's going to join us. This is his first year with us. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what he comes up with. I know he just joined up. So stay tuned on the Tucson Foodie website so you can get tickets for that.
Do you want to know what else he does that's very exciting?
And I hope
rice pudding. Yeah. No, you know what he does that's very exciting at Panka right now?
What?
That to me is hitting everything on all the cylinders. I think he does the best green salad in town. I know he teases me because every time I go there, I get you get the rice pudding and I get the green salad. And
so he's like, why really, is it so special?
It's the best damn salad I've ever had in my life. And that includes John Martinez at Tito and Pep's roasted broccoli salad, charred broccoli salad, which I swore I could eat every day and twice on Sundays. But truly.
Okay. So David, since she won't answer the question, why is it so special?
I don't know. It's just very simple.
Okay, so what's in the salad? Is it in the dressing?
The dressing is lemon cream. So it's whipped cream. It's whipped heavy cream.
Okay.
With lemon juice and garlic.
Si se puede.
Es claro. Es obvio. Es butterfat.
Claro que sí.
And then, yeah, it's just baby tango lettuce with herbs. So it's just cilantro, parsley, mint, basil.
But then there's a snowfall dusting of toasted sunflower seeds. And then slices, mandolin slices off of radish that you could read a newspaper through that just perfume the salad with that peppery brightness that the radish does. The composition of it is beautiful. The bright green is a beautiful, beautiful taste and color, but most importantly, it's the lemon crema that I've never had anywhere else. It is super inspired. I could literally tell you that I would eat that every day for the rest of my life and be a very happy.
Well, there you go, David. Do you have?
But then he teases me. He's like, order something else. One of these days,
this
I will.
Is good.
but everything is good there.
So, David, let me. I've tried before. You've been on with us a few times.
Lucky
and
us.
I've tried this before, but it seems like he never eats anything. David, have you eaten anything lately that you just got to talk to us about that you didn't make?
I haven't gone out in a while.
I thought he was going to say the hot chicken sandwich.
The Popeyes.
Everybody's talking about this stupid sandwich.
honestly, I feel like I have like my go-tos when I do go out.
Where do you go so that we can stalk you?
Tito and Pap. I usually go to.
What do you like from that John's cooking?
I just like the simplicity that he has. I feel like he doesn't, you know, he's not trying to reinvent the wheel. He just really, he's just very true to the ingredient, and he just doesn't screw with it, which is
Well, they're very clean flavors.
It's just very clean. It's very straightforward. It's like, you know, he doesn't have unnecessary things on the plate. It's just good food. It's not a lot of people do that.
It's a great neighbor. He's not, I don't know. It's like egoless food from him.
Yeah.
Well, you know the other thing I describe his food as? You know how many chefs introduce us to their flavor philosophy through note chords of flavor? John Martinez and you are very similar in this respect. It's that you guys play five note chords. Complex, more compelling, more interesting, more nuanced chords. So you use a little bit more of your food sense and flavor sense to do both big and nuanced at the same time. And there's always more complexity and yet more simplicity at the same time.
Okay, but I really want to know what he eats. David.
At Tito or just in general?
Anywhere, but where'd you eat at Tito? Because you brought up Tito first.
The Campachi I usually go to. I usually go to the Octopus. I usually go to... Actually, I was never a big fan of eggplant. He's the first person that's made me
right?
like eggplant.
That mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. He was going to pull that off the menu. I'm like, well, you got to keep one of those aubergines in the back.
Yeah, eggplant was really good. I don't think I've really had anything that I haven't really liked from him.
Yeah. Have you had the bib salad yet?
I have.
I have one thing on the menu that I can't.
Why?
Oh, he's probably texting me right now to shut up.
Did he just say that?
No, it wasn't. It was actually Marisol from Pure Love Juice.
Hey, Marisol from Pure Love Juice. I need you, baby.
So, okay. So, other than Tito and Pep,
help us out.
What else
here.
Have you been eating?
Let's see here. I like Rollies on 12.
Oh, yeah.
What do you get there?
Do you get their flat?
I usually get their flats. They're pork flats.
They're good. I like them.
I usually like the Lengua also. From Tacos Cajeme.
Do you go to La Yoka?
Yeah. Not often, but yeah. They're, and then.
Have you been to that crazy place called Quesadilla? on Craig.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not. It's like it doesn't sound like it would be. But they have this one thing that knocks me out, which is the Yas taco.
I don't think I had that.
Oh my gosh, you got to try it.
Well, because it's got cheese on it
and green chili
and green chili and just good asada.
All right.
It's really irresistible.
Anyway, all right. So so when you're gonna order a taco, so we were gonna talk tacos today.
Mm. And tortillas actually.
And tortillas, well, you know. Anyway, so what's your taco? What's your favorite taco? What do you try everywhere?
Everywhere I usually judge the place by the carne asada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then my second go to is usually my favorite meat and my favorite taco is lengua. So I usually do that. But I have a different taco for every place. I don't go to the same place for everything.
Right. When you're so for me, it's always chicharrón.
Okay.
I do love a really great chicharrón. And hey, Adam, what's that name of that place again? That I love my beef, El Guate. That's right, on South 12th. They've got this beef chicharrón. Mm. And I know it has a different name, and Jackie Tran's going to come in here and correct me. But it is so good. You should try it. It's on South 12th. And then I love, they call it cabeza, but I always think of it as cheese, you know. But it's cabeza, also super, like.
You know who else has a really good cabeza? Panka.
Yes.
So I actually have never had the cabeza there before, so I need to come down and try your cabeza.
You know, we have to take a very quick break, and we're going to talk tortillas. You've got stories dropping in Tucson Foodie about tortillas, but you've also got that fantastic glossary encyclopedia of tacos that ran last week that has really picked up a lot of attention. People all over the country have been paying attention.
I'm going to shake my Pure Love juice again.
Yeah, she is. Doesn't that look good? It is so good looking. I wish I could take it from you, but you need it for cleansing. If you turned your back, honestly, I would sneak a sip of that.
She is so lying.
That's so not true. I used to make
that. I'm going to get you a shot.
Oh.
I told you 7 pounds. Just broke the chair.
Oh, my God. She did just break the chair. We're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about tortillas with the one and only David Solorzano from Panka. And I wish I could steal that juice. I used to make a juice just like that. This is Around the Table live from the City of Gastronomy, Tucson Foodie Edition 2.2. We'll be back with more right after this.
Like, oh, she was trying to give you the...
There's a lot of love in this room right now.
Because it's a lovely day.
It is a lovely day. We're in the test kitchens at Tucson Foodie headquarters, live in the City of Gastronomy. This is Around the Table, Tucson Foodie Edition 2.2. Here with Jennifer Teufel.
And now we're going to talk tortillas with David Solorzano.
The incredible day. And we should tell everybody, this is our last Tucson Foodie show for the season because we're heading into season. You're heading into Film Fest Tucson.
And Art of Plating. And I do fabulous, two great events in October. And David is joining us for Art of Plating. So, like, on tenterhooks to find out what he's going to do. But I do want us to talk tortilla with and find out what his take on tortilla and what his favorite tortillas are made with. And
well, you guys just did a story. So what made you do a story about tortillas in Tucson?
Are you talking about the one that we did on the meat?
Well, you just did a story that was like a virtual encyclopedia or glossary
of the meats.
The tacos.
Yes. But the different kinds of cooked meats.
Yes, but each of the tortillas under these were their own. Like, you could see them changing, like the phases of the moon or the, you know, like.
Yeah, and we'll get Jackie out here to talk about that specific article and everything
guys,
that was included.
You guys showing an interest in the essentials, the fundamentals of the cuisine of the region. And we have David Solorzano here to talk about. Hi, thanks for coming. Let's talk about something as essential as the tortilla.
Do you have a
what
favorite?
What should a tortilla be?
Favorite thing?
What do you mean? What should a tortilla be?
You know, like, I've seen them in very small sizes. I've seen them almost as big as a cocktail table. You know,
it just depends on what you're going to make it with. Okay. Like, so like the ones you're talking about with the ones that are really big and from Northern Sonora. I don't use those for anything. I just use those to just eat as is.
What's the tortilla you grew up with? And what was the tortilla in your food world?
Corn.
And what did you use it for in your life?
My earliest memory of tortillas has been like picking up tortillas with my mom. They came in like this like brown paper, like wrapped in brown paper, and she had to come back home and separate them all because they were made right when she picked them up. And if you didn't do that, they would stick together.
Oh, interesting.
So you would open a bag and it was just like steaming. And then she would get one, roll or sprinkle a little bit of salt on it, and then roll it up. And then she would like make this like little ears and like a little mouth, so it would look like a little donkey. That's my earliest memory of it.
That's so
those,
so cool.
In my mind, those are the best tortillas I've ever had. And only one person has come close to making them like that. And that was at China Poblano, Jose Andres's restaurant. But that's because they made them with that corn and with those technique order. So like it tasted almost exactly like it.
So is it just corn and water? Or
just corn, yeah. Nixon
and
likes
a little
corn
salt.
And water.
Have you ever tried to make them yourself?
Not corn. I made flour before. We are in the process of, we found somebody that's growing Mexican June corn. It's like the last person that's growing it commercially.
In southern Arizona?
In Arizona.
So what is it going to taste?
It's just the variety. Sorry?
Have you had it? Is it going to still taste the same because it's in different dirt?
I don't think it's going to taste the same. It's different water. It's different everything. Yeah. So, but we, once we get that and once the crop is ready, we'll get them in and then nixtamalize it and grind it ourselves and do all the thing.
At Panka. Wow.
So, I mean, that's a big project. I'm not,
that's,
you know, like
a lot
that's
of work.
Maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. But yeah, we're excited about that. So, but yeah, I mean, I grew up with corn tortillas just because my family's from central Mexico. My dad is from northern Mexico, so sometimes we have flour, but my family usually ate corn.
Okay, and so what do you serve? Do you do a mixture at Panka right now, or what
in
do
Panka,
you do?
We have both. We have flour and corn. The only taco that automatically comes on flour is the fish taco because it's a little bit Baja style. But everything else comes on, all the tacos come on corn tortillas, and then some of the things come in flour, like the queso comes with a little bit of flour tortillas and the pozole.
What is the tip that you can share with the audience about when offered a choice, when you're ordering food, when someone says, do you want that with corn or flour tortilla? What's the best advice you can give us if we don't know the answer to that off the top of our head?
Off the bat, I would go corn. It's all preference. So, I mean,
yeah, it's hard.
It's all, for all around, all purpose, corn is the best. Some things, flour is better just to like kind of get the nuances of crunchy fish or anything like that. I feel like flour is a little bit better than that.
So are we well served to always just say whatever chef chooses?
Yeah. And then the flour tortillas right now, we're not really necessarily making them. The corn tortillas, we have a little bit more. I mean, we get the masa right now, but we adjust the levels of salt and everything like that, and we press them ourselves. So.
Are you buying your tortillas, your flour tortillas locally right now?
Yeah.
Will you share with us who you like the most right now, or who you
buy from? La Tortilla.
La Tortilla. Okay.
They're just really nice people. They're super friendly and very helpful. If I have a special request, like when I was at the lodge, I needed blue corn, and they like made them special for me. Like they're just great, great people.
Right on, right on. So, David, thank you so much for coming. I look forward to coming down and getting schooled on mole and having the best green salad ever known to mankind. And maybe end that moment with some rice pudding.
You know who we got on the line?
Who do you have on the line?
Gary Hickey.
Oh, let's talk to our man.
David Solorzano from Panka, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. So we went to knife fight.
Did you get stabbed?
And you know what's so cool is David's got this, I adore him. So I have a really high compliment to pay for Gary Hickey, who along with Michael Elefante are doing extraordinary things for the community. Not only is he doing beautiful food at Charo Vida and Charo Del Rey and Charo Steak, but this,
and his lady is so wonderful.
We
you
love her.
Shout out to Amber.
Total shout out to Amber. She's a dream.
Shout out to Mama.
But you know what, Gary, you're a dream too, and you have really come into a magnificent place, well deserved of your own. And I just wanted to salute you because watching you on Knife Fight Night as you welcome your guests and the chefs. You really make us all feel like we're hanging out at your house, and you make sure everyone's having fun, and you remind us of why you're doing these events, and I cannot compliment you highly enough on creating this experience. This community has never been more cohesive and collegial and vibrant, and it really is thanks to you and to Michael and the chefs, and I just want to compliment you on that.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, it's a labor of love. You know, this is an idea that Michael had. God, it's been about 4 years now, and he kind of brought it up at one of the very first gut meetings that we were in our infancy at the time. You know, there was six of us kind of trying to figure out what we were going to do for the summer, and and this just kind of happened, and it's definitely taken on its own head of steam, and we're so grateful for the community and for our partners with Tucson Foodie and Rock 102.1 and you know, DJ Michael and Don Wynn Knives. They've catapulted it into an actual people wait for it. That's the thing to do during the summer. So we're super excited about that.
It's so much fun. And, you know, I again want to remind Tucson Foodies and listeners, come on down. You know, they're doing it at Riley on Monday night at 9 o'clock, and they're going to slay. There's so much fun, and you really get to see chefs' personalities come out, and Gary really does an amazing job with it.
But the other thing that's important, Gary, chefs are serious competitors. And Michael reminded people that throughout the culinary industry, the shows that we watch on TV have been happening in real life for decades, as chefs would compete to really enhance their skills and to showcase their ideas and talents. And so we think this is a relatively new phenomenon, but it's really part of how chefs grow and how chefs challenge themselves. Would you talk a little bit about how part of the reason Tucson, as the city of gastronomy, is so rich and delicious right now is coming from these chefs sort of spurring each other on?
Yeah, I mean, I won second year of the competition. I'm a glutton for punishment. I love cooking competitions. You will never know your worth until you're down to 10 seconds and you have to put a plate up. Goddamn if you don't get it up, so... you know,
yeah, we were talking about. Sorry, Gary, keep going. I apologize.
No, you're good. It creates a craft. It's definitely something that if you've never competed against another person in what you do for a living, it brings it to a different level. It gives you more passion about it. It makes you understand the intricacies of, you know, flavor development over a short period of time and trying to plan your menu with a secret ingredient you just found out 30 seconds ago. So it's kind of fun.
And this past Monday was interesting because some of the secret ingredients were first-time experiences for the competitors. And
what were the secret ingredients? I wasn't there. I was putting my young man, baby boy, to bed. So what were the secret ingredients?
We had huilacoche. That was the first time for a lot of people. So corn, you know, the corn fungus that grows on heirloom versions.
It's like a Mexican truffle.
Mexican truffle. We had chicken skins. That was a brand new one, which is weird that nobody in the past 3 years has brought that.
I'm a Jew, so I'm all over that.
Yeah. Flaming hot Cheetos. That's a regular occurrence. You know.
Who brought that?
We had Chef Ryan Jones, actually. And we had we had aquafaba, so the liquid that's derived from boiling of chickpeas. What else did we have?
You had the Rocky Mountain oysters.
Oh, Rocky Mountain oysters. Yeah, we did have Rocky Mountain oysters, which actually was the dish of the night from Sam. So we congratulate him. And we're kind of putting something fun together for next year. And it's a little under wraps, but we're compiling the dish of the night and the drink of the night. And hopefully we can put that into an actual event where people can actually come and sit down and have dinner. And we're going to have the chefs kind of make their
dishes.
That is
exciting.
That's fun.
Yeah,
so. It's a really great idea. Hey,
yeah.
Gary, one of the things that I wanted to salute you about is making people understand that this culinary community in Tucson, Arizona is what makes this the city of gastronomy. You could claim all you want that you had the food, but you have to have the people making this food and bringing this intention to make it remarkable in order for this to happen. And I think you play a very significant role in making people understand what the taste of this place is through the people. Would you talk about your colleagues and what this food town means from a people standpoint?
I mean, you just had probably one of the most talented younger chefs in Tucson on just before me. I mean, he had a very, very good job with a local casino here, and you know, he followed his passion, and I applaud him. I love David more than he'll probably ever know, and appreciate his skill set and what he does with food. But it's like that, you know, you can play it safe, or you know, you can push the envelope, and I think that's what almost all the chefs, at least the ones in my circle, do. They never play it safe. They're always looking for, you know, the next best thing, and keeping our food relative and keeping it forefront.
And one of the things I know that once we head back into University of Arizona sports season, the Charo family swings into action and the whole platoon of Charo can be seen throughout the season supporting the community with delicious food at all our events. But I want to take that one step further and ask you about what's going on this back-to-school season at the Charo Brands. And in particular, how are things going with Ola?
Ola Hemp's, you know, it's catching a huge head of steam. We were actually reached out to from Boston UMass. They want to put it in their cafeteria because it's considered a whole brain food. So they're considering on, actually that's going to make it to the menu at Boston University, which we're really excited about.
My hometown.
Yeah, super excited about that. You know, we're back in concessions in the stadium this year. So, and then they just built the brand new, indoor, soccer field. So we'll actually be doing the fan, Fiesta tailgate out of there. So every home game we'll be doing about 2,000 to 2,500 people, plus the concessions in the stadium. And there's beer now. We worked really closely with U of A to make sure that the beer was the first year that it was available. And, you know, it caused a lot of congestion on the fairway there. And so they added more beer booths and more in conjunction with the food. So you can actually, instead of standing in line to get a beer, you can stand in line to get food and beer. So that should be a great relief for Wildcats fans. And, you know, we're excited to be a part of that. So,
well, Gary Hickey, thank you so much for calling in and sharing this last Tucson Foodie Edition with us. We're grateful for all that you do. Yeah, well, Jennifer's heading into a Film Fest Tucson season.
Film Fest Tucson and Art of Plating season. The Art of Plating season and Film Fest Tucson. It's a fun time when we start turning this shoulder. You know, going into summer is always exciting, and turning the shoulder into our next season. People say we don't have seasons here in Tucson, but we do.
Yeah. Well, we got 5 more weeks of Knife Fight. It's every Monday night. Check the Facebook page, check the Instagram. It's at Riley this week. It's going to be fun. This is actually going to be a really special week for me and my boys because Lindy's coming out of retirement. He's actually going to battle this week.
So we're
excited to see Lindy on set. So if you guys are a Lindy's fan, come see your boy. Come support him.
Do we know who he's on the bracket with?
He's going against a young man named Shane Sanchez, so a young chef that worked under John Hone. Shane worked for me for a brief period of time a couple years ago, but he's been under Chef John Hone's tutelage, so should be a good
battle. He's a good man, too. Shane's a good man.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be excited to see you on Monday night. Thank you so much, Gary.
Thanks, Gary Hickey. Chef Gary Hickey from the Charo family, from Charo Vita, Charo Del Rey, and, of course, the Charo Steak. He is the co-founder of Knife Fight, taking place this next Monday at Riley's, starting at about 8:30. We'll see you there. We're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, more with the Tucson Foodie crew, because Jackie's got an answer for us about where the best tortillas in town can be found. This is Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Around the Table, live from the City of Gastronomy, Tucson Foodie Edition 2.2. You know, I have to say, Bruce makes wooden spoons, and they're not merely wooden spoons, Jen. They're actually magic wands.
They're magic wands.
No, they absolutely are magic wands. You use it like you would use a wooden spoon or a set of tongs or the different things that he makes. They make, you know, like baby spoons all the way up to big, make a giant pot of pasta sauce kind of wooden spoon. But I swear to you, the love that you put into the food is transferred through this spoon. The spoon is alive. It was alive as a tree. It is alive still, and it truly becomes a magic wand for stirring the food.
I'm sorry, Jackie Tran is here, and he just always tickles my funny bone. Hi, Jackie.
Howdy do.
Now listen, welcome to Between Two Gens.
Yes. He made something with a magic wand today. I watched you cook for the first time today.
Oh, okay.
Because I hadn't seen you cook before. Mm-hmm. I watched you lovingly prepare an extraordinary piece of steak. Will you tell us what you did today?
Oh, yes. So Chef Fran Clark brought over a 30-day defana fromage, however you say.
Funky piece of steak, man.
Oh, yes. 30-day aged, super funky. It tasted like it was aged at least 90 days, dry aged. But no, it was the funk from the cheese.
Right. So if you've ever seen a beef aging process done where they age it in butter, because it will absorb flavor and tenderize and do all these things. Imagine taking that butter and then amplifying the magnificence of it by turning it into cheese, and not just any cheese, the kind of cheese that will make you swoon. That's what this was. This was a steak that was aged in a triple cream, gorgeous cheese.
Oh, yeah. So here in the office, we don't have a cast iron skillet, so I had to kind of fiddle around with the nonstick
Jackie.
Pan. So temperature.
Did you get some brown on it?
Oh, yeah, I did. Jennifer English, she came in, she saw me, you know, burning some butter on the pan unintentionally, but just, you know, moved it around. I am not the flip only once club for steak. I definitely move it around the pan, flip it every 15 to 30 seconds. The more you flip it, the more even of a temperature, or less of a temperature gradient you get. Yep. So did that, and then just chopped it up, ate it with a fork, just nice and simple, seasoned only with salt, appreciating that beautiful, unique beef.
Yeah.
And you know what was really cool? He had had it and seasoned it, and then he had dried it so that when it went into the pan, there was no extraneous moisture fighting with the process he was trying to achieve, which was to get that really hot sear. And so what was left behind was this lovely piece of towel that had absorbed the essence of it. And so if you sniff that little toweling, it was like sniffing what this was supposed to. It was such a good sniff.
Everybody has to explain this all to me and describe it in such detail because I'm drinking, you know, pure love juice for 3 days.
But your skin looks amazing.
All right. So we didn't come to talk with Jackie about my skin. Let's talk about a couple of things that he's been up to. Let's first start with, what have you eaten this week that you want to chat about, Jackie?
Hooey, all sorts of good things. We had the stuff that Melissa talked about over at the parish. My favorite from that session actually is their southern sour street corn. So they actually kind of do a fermented corn on the cob.
Nice.
And they do it just right to where it's not too sour funky, but just a little bit of tartness. And they have some Louisiana hot sauce and habanero aioli and some crumbled goat cheese.
Are they serving it warm or what?
It's grilled, I think. I think they take it out of the jar and then they toss it on the grill a little bit. I think I recall some char marks, but it just has that perfect, slightly sweet but good amount of tang, and the heat, it was just an addictive amount that kept me biting it just immediately. I think everything else I took one bite of each thing just to taste separately, but that corn I just had to take consecutive bites.
You know, you're just describing irresistible.
Okay, so what else? So you were up at the parish with Travis Peters, and then what else did you have this week?
Last night was at the Coronet.
What did you eat there?
So we had, I think, maybe 4 appetizers and 3 entrees and 2 desserts. But
that's a lot.
Yes. My personal favorite from that dinner was the, I think it was an African spiced lamb tenderloin.
Ooh, yum.
Special. Yes. Lots of cumin? Cinnamon?
A little. It was a warm spice blend. I don't think it was berberi, but it reminded me of that in regards with the warmth of it. And they had some lebna. It had these root vegetable little cakes, like kind of the shape of patties, like crab cakes, except it was mostly beets and some other earthy vegetable. I couldn't
Moody
quite
likes
put my finger
to
on.
Cook with that really warm palate.
You know, I used to run the spice company over at Broadway in Wilmot called Flavor Bank, and we did a line with Marcus Samuelson when he did the Africaya book. And so we did a spice line called Africaya Spices, and one of the products that was the most popular was the berberi that we did, and we did it with a chipotle chili. And what turned into a really interesting conversation was because in Ethiopia, where Marcus Samuelson's from, you would have taken the chilies and roasted them over an open fire, and they would have naturally gotten smoky. So his recipe didn't call for a smoked chili. It just called for chili powder. But because we used the chipotle, we ended up getting a really true read on what that was tasting like back in Ethiopia. And so if you think about how these spice blends live in the places that they're from and how they get brought to the cuisines of things like the Coronet, and you start appreciating these, you know, sort of remarkable romantic blends, it makes the food so timeless and interesting that you're talking about Mudio Barassi, and that's the way he cooks.
Well, I think what's interesting actually about Marcus, you brought up Marcus, is, you know, yes, he was born there, but then grew up cooking in Sweden. And so when he first came to the States, you know, he had a Swedish restaurant, and he is such an interesting and amazing chef. So,
I will tell you, we have chefs like Mudio Barassi, who is as exciting as Marcus Samuelson, or